You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Beidou. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Clap your hands for the Lord. How many of you love the presence of God? How many of you love church? How many of you love Sunday mornings? Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands. We're going to sing a simple song.
Let us adore Him. Let us adore Him, Jesus Christ.
We want to just sing to Jesus.
He is the Lord. Come and behold Him. Bow down before Him, Jesus Christ.
Everybody can sing it.
He is there.
Let us adore Him.
Let us adore.
Let's sing. Let us adore Him.
Let us adore Him. Jesus.
Every hand lifted up to Jesus. Just sing it.
He is there.
Come and behold Him. Sing it. Come and behold Him.
Come and behold Him. Bow down before.
Everybody can sing it. Lift your hands and sing to the Lord. Let us adore Him.
Let us adore Him. Let us adore Him. Jesus Christ.
Every hand lifted to Jesus. Your hand lifted to Jesus. Come and behold Him.
Come and behold. Bow down before Him, Jesus Christ.
Let's sing it again. Let's sing it again. Let us adore Him. Lift your hands, everybody, sing it.
Let us adore Him. Let us adore
Jesus. He is the Lord of Lords. Somebody sing it to God.
Let us adore Him. Let us adore Him. Jesus Christ is the Lord.
Come and behold Him.
Bow down before.
Sometimes we forget why we come to church. Listen, look at me. Sometimes we forget why we come to church. We come to church to bow down before God. That's a song. It's just before I came up, the Holy Spirit put in my spirit that we've come to bow down. We've come. That's the reason. Do you understand it? It's a simple song you can sing. You can't say you can't sing it. You sing it. I tell you. You see, we can be in church and we don't know why we are in church. The center of this whole thing is Jesus Christ. It's everything about Jesus Christ. If you miss it, you have missed everything. You're being here 0/100. If you miss why we are here, the reason why we are, this is His house. Can you imagine? This is His house and you've come to church and you have missed Him. We've come here. Let us adore Him. Let us adore Him. Let us adore Him. You see, Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's a song. come and behold him. Your eyes looking on him. Who are you looking to? Who are you beholding? Your eyes. Are your eyes fixed on something? Maybe your eyes, as you are standing, your eye is fixed on a man. There's a man behind you, so you are so conscious of yourself. Although you are looking forward, you are looking backwards because there's a man behind you. Well, it's the truth. So you are not comforted because you think a man is looking at you from behind. Come and behold him. Bow down before him. Is that your prayer? Ask your neighbor, is that your prayer? Jesus Christ, he is the Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Come and behold him. Bow down before him. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Let us adore him. Let us adore him. Let us adore. Opportunity to be in your presence and to hear from you once again. We thank you that your will be done in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And everybody said, Amen. Clap your hands for Jesus. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in His presence? How many are excited about Jesus? Get excited about Jesus in your heart every day because He brings you good news and good tidings. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord. And today I'm preaching about it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Serving God is a great thing and you must see it as such. Great talks about large in numbers. Comparatively, serving God is big, it's large, it's great, it's wonderful. Do you understand it? Serving God is greater than other things. If you compare serving God with anything you are doing, it is greater. Tell somebody it is greater, it's larger, it's bigger. Hallelujah. When I looked into my dictionary, it says to, for something to be great, all right, it means that comparatively it is large in size, very large in size or in dimension. That means that if you compare serving God, the size of serving God to serving anything, it is bigger and larger in size and in dimension than what you are doing. Now, I remember a friend of mine, he's a Canadian, actually a white Canadian, very tall, very tall. A white Canadian, but was living in America. And he said he got a job. He got a job, or he was offered, I would say he was offered a job at Apple, their office. I don't know which state. I think he's in California. I've forgotten his state now, but he in a particular state that where he was staying then. And he declined. He declined because he said he didn't like something about the job. He was working for a Christian organization, and he preferred that. He preferred that he was an IT person there than to be in Apple. Apple was going to pay him far more than what he was getting from here. But he compared serving God. He saw what he was doing as serving God, and it was much better than the pay that Apple was going to give him. So he declined. I mean, you may see it as a great thing. Wow, Apple has offered me a job. I'm going to work at Apple, the great Apple. Apple. I work here. I work in the mines. I work here. You see, that's a great thing. But you see, I want you to see that serving God is far greater. It's a great thing compared to any other thing that you can do. Hallelujah. It is larger a number. If you are to quantify serving God to what you are doing, serving God is larger in number than what you are doing. Hallelujah. So we want to learn about why serving God is great. And I want you to actually understand that today in this world, a lot of people, especially young people, don't see serving God as a great thing. They see serving God as a demotion. They don't pride themselves. If you permit me to use the word pride, you see, themselves. Or they're not proud of, you know, as compared to how proud they are to work in the secular places. They say, I have a job. I got an offer from Ecobank. I work at Ecobank. Ecobank. The Pan-African Bank. Or I work at Stanchart. I mean, like, they are all great names, and people prefer these things. But what I'm saying is that for you, a Christian, it's a great thing. You can't compare it. That's why Jesus Christ gave us something. Jesus Christ said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? It's amazing that Jesus Christ equated not just Standard Chartered Bank or APSA or whatever bank, JCB, SS, Societe Generale, SGSSB, or any other bank, Fidelity Bank or whatever bank that we know of. He said everything in Ghana, including the banks in Ghana, including the mines in Ghana, including the oil reserves in Ghana, and not only Ghana, but the rest of Africa, everything in Africa. Do you know Africa is a continent rich, a continent that is rich in natural resources? Look, in DRC, I'm told that in DRC, they spend dollars, US dollars there. Every bank, Democratic Republic of Congo, this country that you may not reserve. The top banks that will not want to open a branch in Ghana, they are all there. HSBC, those top banks, they have branches there. So rich a nation in Africa. And everything in Africa, God is saying that compared to serving God and compared to something that has to do with God and eternity, it cannot be compared. Hallelujah. You cannot compare it. So I want to use this opportunity to say to you, and I pray the Holy Spirit will open your eyes. That's why you have to pray in church. Open my eyes to see wonderful things, Lord. There's something wonderful. There's something wonderful about God. Tell somebody there's something wonderful about God. And there is something wonderful about God's word. That's why the psalmist said, open thou my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. Wonderful things. Paul put it this way. He says that, now brethren, he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. The word. Tell somebody the word. Tell somebody the word. Another person. Turn to another person and say the word. He said, the word which is able to build you up and grant you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. The word is able to build you up. Build you up. Build you and grant you an inheritance. Receive your inheritance. I said, receive your inheritance. Oh. This one is inheritance for all. Inheritance for all. So, see what the word of God says about serving him. Look at it and then treasure the word. May God open your eyes to see something in the word. Amen. Now, who are servants of God? I'm going to run you through quickly who servants of God are. All right? Servants of God. Who are servants of God? Who are those who are servants of God? Who are called servants of God? You see, in the Bible, we have people who are called the servants of God. Ideally, you know, pastors are servants of God. You see, so these are the people that are categorized under the term servants of God, all right, or somebody who serves God. So number one, priests and Levites were servants of God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 25, 28, verse 21, the Bible says that, and behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, and they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. So if you look at that, you see that for the service, they are the ones that do the service of the house of God. They serve in the house of God. There are people who are qualified to serve in the house of God or to do certain things. Okay? There are certain particular things that God wants certain people to do. And these are priests and Levites. And that's the order. And that's how God has prescribed things in the Old Testament. And you can call priests today full-time pastors or lay pastors. They can fall under these categories. All right? Number two. I'll run through this quickly. Number two. Prophets were servants of God. Prophets, so we have priests, pastors, whatever. Prophets are called servants of God. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets. My servants, the prophet. That's God's word. My servants, the prophet. Say, my servants, the prophet. Beautiful. So that's what the word of God says here. So prophets are servants of God. Pastors are called servants of God. Men of God. Okay, who are called pastors, they are called his servant, or priests, they are his servant. When you see, the next time you see a Roman father or an Anglican canon, you know, all of us are children of these churches. Don't speak negatively against them. They are servants of God. You see the priest. You see, I respect, we must respect the Catholic Church and Anglican Church. You must respect them. You see, look at them. They wear white. They always wear their cassock. White, and they are just moving. You want to wear your own dress. Look at how boring that can be. Some people don't, even the canary yellow, they say they want to wear their own clothes a bit. It's like, Adama want to wear shawana, won't feel. Won't feel. What's shaka crowd? No, what's shawana, so wana, take a we feel in the air because Bishop Watu Chantere go other wash it. Now, I was the Beyonce Yellow Brush Apple. And I saw what I meant. One more water. Tell somebody that one more other water. And what I say. And Reverend Eric. What's one more? What's in the honey when you move? What to shoes now? You to match some clothes. That's the best on yellow. You see, so what? Respect the father who is always wearing white. Even Okonemi ceremony was white. On them chrome was white. You meet them at the airport or Senecas of white. Was a fly. Every time. It's like white all the time. The discipline to just be even in the white. The discipline. over the years, they are always wearing white. So let the word for a new daughter, we're same white. Nobody knows. Do you understand? So you don't have to worry much about clothes. Don't worry much about so many things. So I'm just saying that these are important disciplines. And they are servants. I want you to know that they are servants of God. Yes. Whether you respect them or not. You cannot define who a servant of God. Tell somebody, you can't define who a servant of God is. By definition, who's a servant of God? These priests, the Bible says they are servants. They are my people. The prophets, the first one that we read, Chronicles, talks about the fact that they shall do the service of God. So the kasok, the people who you don't respect, because they don't preach like, and God said, you see, they don't preach like that. No, they don't preach like that. You see, sometimes the pastor is preaching, why so microphone said that this is a man of God? When you see the way the man of God is holding the microphone. Look, that's not it. The man is a priest and that's it. He doesn't come and say, and I prophesy that somebody, no. That does not mean that the person is a man of God. The person is a priest. He's a priest. That's what the Bible says. And he's a servant of God. He is what? A servant of God. That person that you know, that priest is a servant of God. Amen. And that prophet, the prophet is also a servant of God. All right? The Bible talks about the fact that he says that my servant, the prophet, he uses my servant. God calls them my servant. So how dare you say that they are not God's servants? Who are you? Who has given you authority to say they are not God's servants? They are God's servants. So you accept it. Do you understand it? Number three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the greatest businessmen, were all servants of God. Now these people were just businessmen, business folks. They were doing business. So what that means is that they were not necessarily preachers. So they were not going about preaching from church to church, from congregation to congregation. No, there was no church then. They were doing business. They did their best as businessmen and obeyed God, whatever God told them. But God called them my servants. You know what? Do you know what I have for you? Some of you are in church, but you are even condemning a businessman somewhere. But God sees them more of their servant as their servant than you who is here. Because you don't obey what you are hearing. But the businessman who is doing business and is very busy flying around, the little God tells him to do, he does it. And God call him my servant than you who is sitting here, who will not obey the things that are coming to you directly. Shout mercy. This is where you say mercy. I say, this is where you say mercy. This is where you put your hand on your head and say mercy. Yes. So these people are named in the Bible for that. Jacob the multi-millionaire was a servant of God. All right. Jacob the multi-millionaire. But thou Israel art my servant. Jacob whom I have chosen. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 8 to 9. Israel at my servant. Israel is my servant. That's what the Bible says. Jacob, that's Jacob. God says that he's my servant. He serves me. Meanwhile, he was a rich man. He was a very rich man. Multi-millionaire. Number five, Moses was the head of state. And he was a servant of God. Moses, why are we saying Moses is a head of state? Moses was 40 years in Israel, 40 years in Egypt. He was just being groomed being raised up by the daughter of Pharaoh. That's to say that he was being prepped to become the next Pharaoh or to become a Pharaoh. And then at 40 years old, he committed murder. So he ran away. It's a type of sin. So he ran away. Then he was away for another 40 years. And then God called him after 40 years again to come back and do what he had to do. See, now, he led about 3 million people out of Egypt. 3 million. Do you understand 3 million? That's why the Bible calls it the church in the wilderness. The Bible uses the phrase, the church in the wilderness. Do you know the church in the wilderness? You see, the weather is such that if you allow yourself, the body will slide into rest mode. You know, the computer, when it is there and you don't use it for some time, what does it do? It hibernates. Yeah. So don't let your body hibernate. Tell somebody, don't allow your body to hibernate now. Be active. Yes. So, Moses led 3 million people, and then, beside children, about 3 million of them. But he led them and then gave them laws. And that's what made them a nation. They had laws that were given to them through Moses. And Moses was governing them, ruling them, giving instructions, settling a lot of problems. A lot of the laws in the common law, okay? English common law, the law that we use the common law, right? We have the law. I think we use the common law and then other things. So, a lot of them are from the laws that Moses gave. Okay, where did some of the we have what we call punishments? Okay, damages, and then there are punishments. Okay, there are things that you don't you are paying. This is more of you are paying damages. Then there are other things that are more like you are being punished for the things you have done. Do you get it? Uh-huh. So some of them, but how did they come about? They came about, a lot of them were derived from the laws that Moses gave. Do you get it? If this person does this, this is what should be done. If somebody smites the brother willingly, this is what should be done. If he did it unwillingly, this is what should be done. They are all different. They are all in the Bible. Do you understand it? If the person dies, if you kill somebody, and then the person dies, take the person to the camp outside. And then when the brothers of the people, somebody who's is alive and the person dies, the person can return back to it. There are so many complex laws. A lot of them, 613 or so of them. Do you understand it? So, that's Moses. Moses was like a legislator because God gave him laws. Do you know who a legislator is? One who enacts laws. Okay? Hello? Hey, are you here? Okay. I want to know whether you understand what I'm saying. But even if you don't understand, go back and listen to it again. You will understand. So, that was Moses. But Moses was called the servant of God. And the laws that Moses gave, that's what has made Israel and has governed Israel and has kept Israel. They are governed by, they are known, Jews are known by these things, by these laws, everywhere in the world. They make sure that they are bound by these laws. Amen.
Amen.
So, you can be, that means that you can be a politician. Those of you who are party card, you know, you are sitting here as though you don't have party card. 18 years old, he has a party card. Your name is in the party. I don't know where my, if I find my name anywhere, I'll be very surprised. Pa. That means somebody has intentionally put my name there, but I don't know where I belong. Is that done? Do they do that sometimes? I don't think my name is anywhere. My name is not in any political party's book. But political parties, they know their members, so. They have registered all of them. Recently, I saw a video where people were swearing. Hey! Swearing with a sword. Makapalo Sabada. Sale, you won't swear in church, but you are swearing for a political party. Or you don't understand what I'm saying. Maybe you didn't see it, but I've seen it. Now people come and say, this one. They say, hey! Political party, where they swear so. Hey! Swearing that they should die. Your child who is somewhere who is innocent, you have sentenced your child to die if you make a mistake. That's how curses begin. And many of them will fall out. Many of the people will do something that the curse will work on the children. That's how it is. A child wouldn't know something is happening. But look at that. If you saw it, that's the case. You are sleeping your son. You even maybe the child is yet to be born. The child is even in the womb. Already, somebody has signed an agreement on your behalf. Yes, that's how it is. Because they have the power over you. And they give birth to you, so they have spoken. Shout mercy.
Mercy.
Yeah. Are you understand what I'm saying? So, politicians, whether this year is an election year, right? Some of you are going to become polling agents. A lot of you are polling agents, you are sitting down like that. When we are coming to vote, we will see. We say, hey, Ako! Wahabi! We'll be shocked by it. I say, hey! You know, I have a church member who, she's still around, but she's not from here. And one day, Because she wouldn't do so much in church. I mean, but she's a nice person. You know, they're very happy-go-lucky people. Very nice. I was involved with so many things, so I remember. But then one day, I got to know that she's an MPP, self-activist. I said, hey, Gifty, you! I couldn't believe it. I was so shocked. I saw her wearing a party t-shirt boldly. Hey, I'm saying that there's no problem. No problem. No, I'm not preaching against your political party affiliation. I'm saying that as a polling agent, you can be a servant of God. Yes. When you're a proper servant of God at a polling station, you will not help over voting and you will not cheat. You will not. If you're a proper servant of God, you will not do that at the polling station. You will not bring in extra ballot papers. Eh? This is an election year. Yo. I'm saying it because you know what I'm talking about. You people, you know what I'm talking about. So let us be proper. So people like that were called servants of God. And the next person that I want to bring to your attention is David. David. David was a servant of God. David. David was a servant of God. Go tell my servant David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 5. Go tell my servant David. Go and tell my servant David. David was a king. David was actually a king and a ruler. You see, let me tell you, David was no different from all the chiefs we have today. All chiefs, you tell many chiefs, you say they are into idol worship and into, idolatry. I mean, that's what many people say, right? Is that what you know? Is that what it is? But I want to say to you that David is an example of a chief that did not worship idols. Now, let me tell you, when you look at all the kings of Israel, David is the one that did not worship idols. All the others did the same thing that you know. They all worshiped idols, including his son Solomon. So they all did the same thing. So David was the only different. So there are some chiefs today. You'll be surprised that God will call them more of servants than you. Shout mercy. This is where you shout what? Mercy. This is where you shout mercy. This is the place. That God will call the one that you have condemned. God is saying that this one is my servant. David was a servant who was interested in the church, who was interested in the service of God. He was interested in the church things. He was working hard. David is the one that worked hard to bring the ark back. David went to bring the ark and was dancing before the ark because there was no church building. So the ark was his church building, dancing in the streets, dancing excitedly. Tell somebody excitedly. Some of you come to church. You won't dance. You don't have anything to you. Won't dance. Sometimes we wonder what is around you. You don't have anything. You won't dance in church. You will not sing. You don't know how to sing. Force yourself to know how to sing the song. How come you don't know how to sing it? Ask your neighbor, how come you don't know all these songs? Do you know why? I'll tell you why you don't know all these songs. Your head is filled with the wrong songs. You have so many unbeliever songs that your memory is full. And that's not because entire say, but that's I say. Entire say, Obi ta onje na otitwe a katwe ni che na obeta say. Your head is full, your memory is full. That add-on. You have to format, delete, wipe away, delete and reinstall all the things that you have to. Or even your operating system must be reinstalled before you install the programs. Operating system now corrupt. You understand the operating system? The operating system of your mind is not correct. You have to remove it. Amen. Go tell my servant David. Go and tell my servant the king. Go and tell the king. Because God puts people in charge. I believe one of the leaders that we had who was a was President Mills. Was like a real servant of God and a president for us. Everybody can see the genuine Christian that he was, and you could see him professing it. Professor Mills. You don't understand it. He stood clear. When they said, guess what, we will not accept it, he could say it clearly. Others can't say it clearly. You don't understand what I'm saying there. Let me continue my message. For some of you are not around when President Mills was, you were children, so you just saw him, but you didn't understand what he was doing. Others couldn't say it clearly that, look, for us, we don't like this whole thing. And he said clearly, he's the one who started it. They brought it to him. They gave it to him, just like others were asked. The same way others have been asked, he was asked. And he said, I mean, he didn't have to blink. He didn't think twice. He said it unequivocally, without ambiguity. He just hit it. But others will say, you know. And when you hear, you know that there's a problem. There's something happening somewhere. Hey! I said, hey! Clearly, we had the real servant of God as a president. A real servant. He was a true servant of God. He loved church. He loved God. He loved the house of God. At a point, they were even saying that he's making the parliament presidency for the Bible. Only pastors are coming there. Why should pastors not go to the presidency? Hey! Now, the reason why I showed you all these people is that to tell you that you who are sitting down, you can be kept. How many of you do your own business? Or you work, but you also have a business by the side. Lift up your hand. You work somewhere, you still sell toffees and then water. Lift up your hand. It's a business. A type of business. Lift up your hand. In other jurisdictions, you should have registered a company. And you should have been paying taxes. But in our jurisdiction, it doesn't work like that. Lift up your hand. You have a business as a type. Hey, sister, why should he help you? You don't know that you have to lift up your hand. You don't know that. You don't know that you have a business. So God is saying that you, the businessman, you, the businesswoman, you can be a servant. But you serve. You work as a servant. Are you there? Beautiful. Beautiful. Anything you are, somebody has been that person before. Jacob, Job was a multi-millionaire. Job was rich. Job was a servant of God. You can be rich and be a servant of God. Many rich people. How many kings and chiefs have you seen dancing in church? That's why David is different. That's why David is different. How many rich people will make sacrifices and say, even my children that have not sinned, I'm even giving a sacrifice just in case they have sinned. Just in case. Would be in church. Would do service of God. He has offered a lot of sacrifices and given offerings and served God. Loved the Lord. If you look at Job 1 and you read about it, he feared God. Job feared God. As rich people are proud. Rich people are proud. They have a certain, so they believe that they are above so many things. Until they can become very proud. But not all rich people are proud. Then they have the fear of God. Perfect. He was perfect. And he feared God. He eschewed. Look at the description. Perfect, upright, feared God, eschewed evil. That's God. This cannot easily be used to describe modern day rich people. True or not true? Yes. And this man who served God, do the offer offerings for his sins, the sins they know. Then the sins they don't know, or he doesn't know of. And his children have gone somewhere. So as they have gone, maybe they've gone to do something that will bring sin. Let me offer sacrifices. God, please forgive them. Just in case. That's how much he feared God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. But he was very rich. So you can be very rich and be a servant of God. Serve him. Well, people don't have money. You don't have money. You also not serve God. Look at your neighbor and say, what do you have? What do you have that we should be afraid of you? You know, sometimes you have to look at it all. What do we have? What do we really have? That we have to be afraid of you. What do we have? Oh, you don't like the message, eh? You have some 3 new shoes. Is that what you have? Hello? Is it because of your shoes, the 3 brand new shoes that you have, that you have become very proud? You can't serve God. Because of that new hairstyle you have on, because of that, you cannot serve God. You cannot go for a basenta service. You can't join the fellowship because your dress is nicer than all the people. The guys who have come, they are smelling and you don't smell. Your perfume that you are using is so expensive, you can't join them because of your perfume. Perfume, because of your perfume. Hey! That's how it is. We don't have anything, but still you feel very proud and very big. But look at David. Look at Job, upright, eschewed evil. Job was a fantastic guy. Huh? Fantastic. He was doing so many wild things. Now, I want to say this to you, all right, that when you serve God, people who serve God, now, people who serve God, all things shall be added unto them. Tell somebody, all things shall be added unto you. All things. All things. All things means all things. It's real. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He's talking about clothes, food, what you shall eat, what you shall... It's life. Life is more than food, chicken, guinea fowl, I confirm. Recently, I was in the north, and I said, we have to eat, I confirm. Guinea fowl. Say, guinea fowl. I hear some guinea fowls flew away from Ghana. I don't know where they've been found. Have they returned? Some of these things we don't follow. So sometimes when the thing is restored, we don't know. So we just want to know. Guinea fowls. Chicken. Rice. Kenke. Fish. Life is more than food. Drink. You know what? Food is not... Food cannot satisfy you. What you are craving for is not food. It looks like it's food, but it's not food. What you are craving for is not clothes. You think that clothes will make you happy, but it's not clothes. You are thinking that when you get a new phone, you'll be okay, but that's not going to necessarily make you happy. You feel happy for some days, excited that you have a new phone. You have some people tell you, wow, Charlie, you're looking good. Wow, you have the latest this. It's just for some few hours. After that, you realize that it means nothing again. Behold, the Bible says, life is more than these things. Behold, the fowl of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? God is speaking to us about food, raiment, clothes. What? God is talking about these necessities of life. That are you not better than these people that God even gives these things to them? Which of you, by taking thoughts, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye aught for raiment? Why are you thinking about clothes? I can't have this to wear. We are going for this wedding. I need to get the wedding color. The colors of the wedding is a blue, sky blue, whatever. I need a sky blue dress. And then get a shoe. I have the bag. I can't go. I'm getting frustrated and stressed. Is this what is stressing you? Hey! That is the life of people. Can't get it. I need to get this. I'm getting stressed. Why? Jesus is asking that question. Why? Consider the lilies of the field. The lilies of the field. How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all this. Abba. Tell somebody. It's amazing though. Wohowness. I like the song. I really like the song. I don't know, but I really, really like it. Wohowness. Please, can somebody help me to sing it? Eric is not here. Eric is the one who can sing it. Jehovah. Why are you? Look at your neighbor and sing the song to your neighbor. You are so worried about that you don't have food to eat in the house. Look at you. How? What's your problem? We need a juma into the no. Why the your job matter? That's about your job matter, eh? God knows. Look, today the problem has been settled. I think today. Look, we don't have pastors. I think we shouldn't be worried again. Because God knows it. God knows this problem. If God knows it and I know it, who should be more worried? Who should be? Am I the one, me and God? Who should be more worried? It's God. God should be more worried than me. Amazing. We are going about, we are fretting. Hey, I won't come to church again. I've been coming to church. Hey, your problems. Hey. You should be more angry with God than me. It's true. What school fees na yen chie na wusi? Anu na wusi? No, but where is Alice? Alice could have sang the song. I'm sure she's doing something. So, Obi and him number two, Tony. You should respect him. You know, I got to know him because he was leading a choir song. What's that song? That's a song. That's how I got to know him. The first time I remember him, when he was at Kwekuma, he led a choir. Everywhere I go, there's something like that. Yeah. Listen, look. Today, I think we should be worried too, because God, we have realized that we've gotten to know from the Bible that it's like, no, your problem, God knows this. It has been registered in heaven. Your problem has what? Is there? Why are we worried? Whatever your problem is, your sickness, your whatever, look, let me tell you, God knows. I didn't say it's in the Bible. Anna. What's a revelation this morning? Tell somebody, I think we can even close. We can close. We can even close the service. Think deep about it, that your problem, God knows it. For your heavenly Father, He knows that you have need of all these things. Hey, Charlie. Somebody say, Charlie. I just discovered that all this while, my prayer points, my topic, God knows it. Oh, hey, God. You be quiet like that. God knows it. Stop whining. You are whining too much. Too much. And he says that. But as for you, seek ye first. You know what? I want you to give us the Amplified Bible of this one. You get to see something. Amplify. If you have the real Amplify, not the classic, the AMP. Let's see that one first. He says that, but seek, aim at, and strive after. Okay? But seek, into bracket, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness. His way of doing. Say doing. Doing. His way of what? Doing. There are things to do. Tell somebody there are things to do. His way of doing and what? Being right. That's what you are supposed to do. The way of, you must be doing things. The way of doing. That's it. That's what the Bible says. And I'm excited. This morning is just a fantastic service. It's too fantastic. I don't know why you're not excited, but the scriptures are just too fantastic. Go home with assurance that your problem, no, God knows. God knows. Why are you worried? That's why they sing that song. Why are they worried? That song is Matthew 6:33. What be your yeah, professor? You couldn't sing it, so who sing this one? We couldn't sing the what's the man's name? Asumeni, and then as Yasapon and Asumafo or something. You couldn't sing that one. You want to sing this one? You won't sing it, yeah. Go and learn that song. Now listen. Number one, seeking after the Lord first is the master key in Matthew 6:33. Indeed, it is your master key to prosperity. Listen, I'll read very fast because my time is almost up. Being a servant of someone is to seek and serve his interest. Serve his interest. Not your own. Today's Christian, you come to church and you have turned the concept of God. You've come to church to use God to serve you instead of you seeking to serve his interest. That's what we do today. It's like we've come to church to seek what can God give me instead of what can I do for God. That's what it means. I keep saying to people, you've gone for a house help, and the help you are giving to the house help is more than the help you are getting. You have to sack the person. You've got to bring a house help to the house come and help you. Now the house help has to go to school. Has to do whatever. Now it's like now you have to think about it. You have to sack the person. It's not a help. You are helping the help. That's the truth. You brought them. You say it's not because of school. You brought the child, the person to come and help. If you agreed on help terms, it's not for, because the help can be that you are rather helping the person. There's a difference between you wanting to help somebody. You brought somebody to help you serve your interests and reduce the burden on you. Then you are rather thinking more about him and looking for how to get somebody to do what you have brought the person to do. Why don't you sack the person? I'm just giving you a piece of advice. You have to know how to sack people. Yeah. But there's a right place to help. I'll prefer you go and I'll help you than to stay with the pretense of you are helping me. I'll find somebody to rather help. You understand it? Don't be too soft on some of these things. Don't be too soft on somebody. You brought somebody into your house to help, and there's a problem there. What do you have to do? Look, it's too bad. We can't do this. Let's go back. Bye-bye. Anna? Yes. Anyway, I saw it's another day. So what I'm saying is that you serve somebody to the person's interest. That's what it means to serve. You think about, what can I do for you, God? What can I do for you? What should I do for you? Huh? Are you there? You must seek to become a servant of God. Therefore, you must seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The doing. Tell somebody the doing. The kingdom doing. There's something to do in the kingdom. My brother, what are you doing? Ask your neighbor, what are you doing in the kingdom? What are you doing in the kingdom? In his kingdom, in this church, what are you doing? Huh? It is possible for anyone to become a servant of God. It is possible for anyone in any profession to become a servant of God. It is possible to seek that status, the status of being God's servant. All right. To serve someone is to seek his interest. To serve someone is to contribute to and to promote the person. Yes. I tell the people who are, you see, they are not around me. Sometimes when I'm there, I see that they are talking to other people. I said, look, I'll sack you. Because you are standing here because you are supposed to look at me. Anything I need, even before I speak, you have to move into action. That is why they are supposed to be with me. That's why I've chosen. If you are here, I have to call you. Sometimes they even take my things away, and I'll be looking for them. Now I have to find people to look for them. I've told that I'll sack you if it happens like that. You can't be, but you are supposed to be helping me. Are you understand what I'm saying? Yes. You are supposed to. Don't. They are not here to help him. No. They are not even supposed to. They are not helping my wife, who's also doing something. I said, don't. She should get her helps. Or helpers. What I'm saying, is it bad? No. She can also have helpers. I can even help her to get helpers. But these ones, they are supposed to help me. That's all. They are supposed to help me. That's how it is. You must understand it. And I've even warned someone. I said, listen, you are not helping my wife. You are supposed to help me. She has work that I have given her to do, but she should get help to do that once I have help to do my work. Oh, you don't understand it? That's how it works. You are supposed to promote my work. Help my work. So God's servants are supposed to promote God's work. You are sitting here. You do nothing to promote God's work. That's why all things will not be added unto you. All things are added to people who promote God's things. Yes. Let your eyes be and know who you must promote and who you must help. Many people are disillusioned, disappointed because of political parties. Disillusion, disappointment, big time. Because what they were expecting, putting all their money, they sold their houses, sold their family properties and all that. And then something happens and they don't even get anything back. As for God there, at least, when you do that, you know God there, at least you get rewards in heaven. At least. Are you there? Yeah. So that's what the Bible says. Promoting the person's way. So when you are here as a servant, as we are all diving into the Macarius area fellowships, what are you doing? That's the question. Many people don't do this. They don't do anything to help God's house and get things of God. You sit in church and you plan what you do, you wouldn't do. It's almost like as I'm preaching, people have planned. I mean, yeah, my brother, I mean, yeah, me. Yeah, but hard, sir. Up and down, up and down. That's what you are saying in your mind. Yes, that's how people think. That's how people think. Things come and go. Things come and go. Really? Is that what you are saying? When will the word of God mean something to you? When will the preaching mean something big to you? Real. This is a very anointed service. The Holy Spirit is here. Big time. Teaching. Revealing. Showing. The rest is up to you. The word was preached unto them, as well as unto us. But the gospel preached unto them did not profit them. Having not been mixed with faith. It didn't profit them. They didn't receive it with faith. Receive the word with faith. May you receive the word with faith. It says all things. Say all things. Yes. All these things shall be added unto you. To serve somebody is to be useful or of service to him. To serve somebody is to be obedient to his wishes. It is important to be a servant of God. And that's what the Bible is saying here. Matthew 6:33 is a master secret to your prosperity in this life. The secret to all things that people are seeking for is to seek God first. God first. You know, in life, what you put first is important. Look, there's no woman here. There are a lot of ladies who don't want to be second wives. Although there are a lot of men and fewer women. No, a lot of women generally. In Ghana, there's a lot of women, right? So a type of person can say that, look, if you're a man, if you want to marry, you must agree that you will marry two. Otherwise, don't marry. It's a way to also come up with policies that will help everybody in the country. It's a type of policy. Add one, because there are some people who are complaining. And it will be a problem for the government. You know, in some countries, they give incentives not to born if you give birth to one. Now, the thing is back. Now, I think China is trying to come back. India is now the largest. India has the largest population in the world. India has overtaken China. The last I heard. You get it? So, the government can say that. That we don't have that here. Listen. All these things, all these things will be added. What are the things? Riches, money, gold, cars. God can give them to you. Yes. God can give them to you. He says that if you seek him first, if you seek him first, all these things will be added unto you. And not second. Being the first is different from being second. Being a first wife is different from being a second wife. Yes. Being first love. Do you know first love? A first lover. I mean, When you fall in love with somebody, it's the first time you are falling in love. Like you fell in love with Kojobi. Aha. And then Kojobi broke your heart. When you move with the next person, the love may be different. It's a second love. It's not the same. But this one, you'll be cautious. Every time you step on the brake a bit. It's like I went all out the first time. I don't know what happened. So I started feeling dizzy when I went out the first time, all out. So I don't want to feel dizzy again, so I'm stepping on the brake. I don't think you understand what I'm saying, but some people understand what I'm saying. Lift up your hand. Uh-huh. Lift up your hand and give me a wave. Uh-huh. There's some real people in the house. First love is different from second one. It's a type of love. So we have first love. Huh? And we also have, we have different types of love. We have greater love. The greater love had no man than this, that a man should lay down. That love only Jesus can give. That the greater love is the love that you have to die. And then we have first love. First love is the love that is first. First, you are swift. That God is, that's what God is looking for, swift. Charlie, you wouldn't miss the dates. You wouldn't miss whatever. Charlie, when you are in love, it's nice. So when you see people who are not in love, you can also see that these people, they are not in love. They are managing to marry. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. Managing to what? Marry. First love is different. So God says, seek first. When it comes first, it will be different. Everything else will come second. May you seek God first. Yeah. And that's why he says that all these things shall be added unto you. Do you understand it? All these things shall be added unto you. To fully trust in God, you must fully trust in God. Huh? So that everything about your life, everything concerning your life, God will provide for you. Yes. And says, all these things shall be added unto you. I have so many things that I've not shared. I wanted to give like 5 points, a lot, but time constraints. Look at that. Strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you. So God is saying that if you are here and you serve him, you are a servant, and you become a servant, and you do his things, he will add everything to you. He will add other things to you. There are other things that God can give you. I've seen that God has things that he can give us if we are faithful. And if we are obedient, he says that if you shall, what? Humble yourself. If you are obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are obedient, you eat the good of the land. So may we be obedient to this word. You see, we are in church. And we are supposed to do something to help promote the church. You are supposed to be part of this. Everything we are doing, you exclude yourself. You exclude yourself in everything. You give reasons why you are excluding yourself. Why you? Why only you? You are excluding yourself. In everything you exclude. I can't do it. You know, my job this. My this. Listen, we are not coming to ask about your jobs. Sometimes you see people. You know, people use their jobs. You know, one day I saw a member. I said, the person, you travel. But when you can't come, then the person had come for some time. But the person is always around. I go to see where the person is. I see that I meet the person all the time. You are around. The few times that you are around, because your job keeps you away, the few times that you are around and you are in town, will you not use it to serve God? Will you not use it to even just come to church on a Sunday? They won't do it. It's amazing. You travel, you sit on an airplane, you come back, or you go somewhere and you come back just to serve God. You've got an opportunity to be in his house. I told you of a story where we went to the cemetery not long ago to be with one of our pastors, the dad passed. So we actually went for the service, and I decided, oh, let's go and be with him at the cemetery. So I called some of my pastors. I said, well, I want to be there because I'm not the one officiating, but I just want to be by him. So we went. So by the time we got there, they had finished the barrier. And so I still, but he was there. So I still went there. And a lot of people were gone. He was left alone, almost with just about two people or three people with him who were helping to do the whatever, you know, close up. They have a way of doing it now. The tomb, they have to do the block work and close it up. So we're with him, just standing there as he was supervising and watching as they were blocking the space with blocks and mortar. Okay. Then they had done one by the father's tomb, and the group came to bury this guy. And I looked, as we were there, then I suddenly looked up. Then I saw, this guy is a young guy. Then I saw the age, 36 years old. 36 years old. Then I said, hey, which young guy is this that is there? Then my pastor said, oh, this guy was in town. And he came from Abroche. And as he was partying and all that, he felt whether he was poisoned or whatever, and he died. Saw the guy, nice guy. And he's dead. You see, I'm saying that you may also have opportunity to travel, go somewhere by bus, by air, by water. When you come, the opportunity you have, another opportunity is to serve God. That God will take you and bring you back. And not to play dilly-dally with him. You are too busy for God. Sometimes too busy. Too busy. I read something this morning. I read something. It has nothing to do with my... It's a book I'm reading. I'm so interested. So I decided to read early in the morning. I decided to read one chapter of that book. A book I'm reading. Then he's talking about something. And he's talking about being too busy with certain things. Then he said that a doctor prescribed something to someone who was busy with everything. Then one of the prescriptions he gave the guy, do you want to know? Will you want to take this prescription? How many of you want to take this prescription? I want to tell you what I've discovered. The votes, the people whose hands are down are more than those whose hands are up. So I can't say it. I want to say, but I'm doing a voting. You are not voting. You know that sometimes voting, the people, it's in progress. How many of you want to know what the doctor prescribed? He told that guy who was so busy with everything, he couldn't do certain. The doctor said, listen, I'll prescribe something for you. Will you do it? Will you? Then the guy said, I'll do it. Because he was nowhere. I'll do it. He told him one thing, which is close to this. He said, I want you every week, take one every week, get a period of about 6 hours. Then he said, I want you to just go. Do you know where he said he should go to? Say, go. I'm giving you a prescription. Go and walk in the cemetery for 6 hours every week. Find 6 hours to just do that. Walk in the cemetery. Yes. And that changed the guy's life. And he told him that as you are walking in the cemetery, see, number one, the quietness. There's not music. No music there. Nobody is partying. Nobody is busy going about. Everybody is coolly lying down. The peace that you will have there.
What a prescription!
It's in a book. I can show you. I can even photograph it and put it there. It says, go to the cemetery for 6 hours. Walk. Just quietly walk. Looking at the tubes like that. It's a therapy. It's a therapy. I think it's a good one. Therapy. You know, when you see dead body, or you go to the mortuary where the person's lying. I've gone to the mortuary. They took me to the mortuary. And a young girl, 20-something, maybe 30, breast pointing like that, is dead. No. Is it a dead body? See, your mind is wrong. What I saw is fresh. And I was supposed to tell what they should do with the body. And she was lying on the slab there. You see, it will change your mind about so many things. It has a way of speaking to you. He's dead. He died. Now this man said, this doctor said, as you are walking, you get peace, number one. And they say that the what you see will speak to you. And then he said that you are saying you are busy. These are all the different people you see, the ages and all that. You get a message. I will tell you, all these people also thought they were busy that if they don't do what they have to, they are so busy, it can't be done. And they died. And what they wanted to do, it's still being done. Yes, you are so busy about God. And if you die, what you say you are busy about will be done. But you have to meet God. You have to meet God. You can't serve God because you are so busy. When you die, you are arranging milk on the shelf. When you die, somebody has to come and arrange the shelf, the milk tins on the shelf. But you can't find time for God, to serve God. You are so busy. You are so busy. I don't know what makes you busy. You can't do anything for God, but I want to tell you, be careful. Be careful. Because when you die, and you can die anytime, I pray nobody will die. Pray for you. You won't die now. But listen to me. It's important that this is a message for you. Look at that. Is this nice guy? That's what even attracted me, because I thought another old person is being buried. Just by the old man who was about 70 something, I don't know whether 80, 70 something, was a very young 36-year-old handsome face. Handsome face. Are you there? He's gone. May you seek God. Amen. Seek God. Let's serve God. This church, we must serve God. Young people, old people, let's serve God. Let's serve God today. Let's serve God always. Let's be part of what God is doing. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says that all these things shall be added unto you. Look up there. Albert, do you want it? Hallelujah. God will give us things. Are we going to serve God? Yeah. I want everybody to be part of what God's house is being built. Be part of it. And let God bless you. Let God add things to your life. There are things you can't add to yourself. There are so many things you can't add. There are things you can try, but you realize that it's not working. Only God can add them to you. Yeah. You are chasing after some things. Look for God. God will add them to your life. In Jesus' name. Clap your hands, stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidou@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus. I want